This morning we are going to continue with our journey with Jesus as he goes to Jerusalem. And we talk about his mission statement. We talk about when he was on the mountaintop. Last week we talk about when he went to temptation into the wilderness. And today we are going to be reflecting upon Jesus' sorrow for Jerusalem. Jesus is still on his way to Jerusalem from Galilee. He only has a few months left to live. And he knows that he is going to Jerusalem to pay the penalty for people's sin by his death. He will sacrifice his life in order to reconcile sinners with a holy God. We have been talking that God is holy, 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 and we can never be with him on our own terms, on our own religion, in our own strength. So Jesus comes to be the propitiation, to be our bridge. So in a report reached Jesus that King Herod wants to kill him. And this report was brought by the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And then they want to terrify his followers. Stop following this guy. They wanted to stop Jesus. But our Lord Jesus, confident as he did with Satan in the wilderness, as we read last week, he was tempted, but Jesus insists. He says, I have to get there. In our text this morning, if you help me with the PowerPoint, just click it, and then I can. And it's from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. And I'm going to be reading. You can follow on the screen or you can follow in your Bibles. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. He says, at that very hour when Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. He says to them, go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. 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 The city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often I desire to gather you children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And you were not willing. See your houses left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Maybe one person lead us in prayer before, if you feel, lead us in prayer before we reflect upon this passage. Let's spend a moment in silence. Pray for me as I speak. At first glance, it seems confusing. It is difficult to evaluate what's going on here. Because the Pharisees, what they are doing here? Why would the Pharisees who hated Jesus, they wanted to murder him, they were plotting, and they were coming to say, Jesus, be careful, King Herod wants to kill you. Why? Well, many scholars, they will agree that they were not motivated by concerns for Jesus' safety. This warning suggests that their objective, the religious leaders' objective, was to intimidate him into silence. They wanted to shut down his teaching. Be quiet, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, you know, if you turn your Bibles in the heading of chapter 13, maybe you have Bibles who have, you know, a title on top. Jesus came to preach, repent or perish. That was the message of Jesus. And then if you read on top of that chapter, then you will see that. And that is what he's teaching. And then at that very hour that he's teaching, some Pharisees came and said, get away from here. You're going to be dead. Now, who is King Herod Antipas? He ruled from his father's death in 4 BC until AD 39. The Jews hated him because he was half Samaritan. They didn't care about him. He built a city on a Jewish cemetery, and they hated him. Also, they built idols in public places. They didn't like him. On top of that, he was immoral. He wanted to do whatever he wanted. And another preacher, John the Baptist, who was bold to preach, he said, you are in sin because you are with the wife of your brother Philip, Herodias. So King Herod imprisoned John the Baptist, and we know what happened. He executed him reluctantly, we read, because he respected it. But as we read, this is King Herod, as we read this passage, we consider the sorrow of Jesus over Jerusalem. We have two messages. One message to his enemies, and one message to Jerusalem. And today we are going to unpack these two messages. First, Jesus' message to his enemies. And then, first, let's look at this message to his enemies. You know, notice the context. Let's go to the context of this message. We read verses 31 to 35, but we're going to consider just before. It's good to see the context. And then the context is in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. If you have your Bible, you will see. I'm not going to read those verses, but here we read that Jesus has been traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem. While traveling, he has been giving people a series of warnings. If you check very carefully, he's warning people. He has just warned people of the danger of being excluded from the kingdom of God and urged people to enter into the narrow road. So the passage before, if you read the title, if you have title, said the narrow road. And Jesus is saying, hey, you need to repent. He's talking about repent and faith. So that was a new message. And they were not used to it. In verse 24 of Luke chapter 13 says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So Jesus is teaching this, and as Jesus is teaching, the Pharisees come and say, get away from here. We don't want to hear this message of repentance. We don't want to hear this. King Herod wants to kill you. Now, this is a credible threat because, well, he has many reasons to kill Jesus. Because, remember, maybe he said, well, I killed John the Baptist. He's coming after me. Ooh, maybe he was unhappy because crowds follow Jesus. He said, what if Jesus instigate a rebellion? My place is gone. And also, he has this reputation that he didn't care. He has no reservation of eliminating rivals. He has no reservation of eliminating opponents, even his family. He didn't care for his brother. So now, why the Pharisees came, you know, to say, well, some people say, well, Jesus was in trouble because the Pharisees were plotting with King Herod to kill him. But other Bible commentary says, well, no, actually, there were some Pharisees who loved Jesus and it was a genuine concern. But anyway, Jesus sent a message to King Herod. And that's the first message. King Herod is his enemy. You know, if somebody wants to kill you, is not his friend. He was unhappy about his preaching. He's not his friend. is the message he sent to his enemies, to King Herod. The Son of the Living God was not intimidated by this king. As soon as Jesus heard from the Pharisees, he sends this message. Shall we read together? This is quite a strong verse. Shall we read together verse 32? He said to them, wow. We don't see Jesus saying these things. Go and tell that fox. This was a derogatory statement. This was quite unusual. You know, it's interesting that King Herod is the only individual in the New Testament that is treated with contempt. Fox was an insult. To the Jews, the fox was a symbol of three things. First, it was regarded as the slyest of animals. Second, it was regarded as the most destructive and nuisance of animals. And third, it was the symbol of a worthless and insignificant man. Now, who is Jesus talking to? To the king of the Jews. Bless you. It takes a bright man to say that. And Jesus is saying, well, you are not a threat. Maybe you are the king. Maybe you have power. You can manipulate. You have not. I have to accomplish my duty. I'm going to go there, you know, and maybe you can call the reigning king, but you are just a puppet. I'm going to do what the Lord has said to me. Few months later, Jesus will be in the presence of King Herod. We are going to read that later in a few weeks. You know, and you know, on the night that he was betrayed, he went and he was before King Herod. You know what? He says nothing. Who are you? My friends, God speaks to us. But when Jesus has nothing to say to a man, to a woman, to a church, to a city, that man's position is hopeless. That individual's position is hopeless. Jesus was quiet. But the message has two folds. He said, before I cast out demons and perform cures, Jesus says, I will continue healing my people. I will continue performing my mission. I came to heal, to set people free. I'm going to continue doing because I love them. And you don't have right to tell me anything. And second, he says, today and tomorrow and on the third day, I finish my work. Bible commentators see that he is talking about his resurrection. You know that he said, I'm going to be doing this and that until the third day when I'm going to be finishing my work. And, you know, he will be, in that day, he will be killed, but he will be buried, but he will be risen. And I'm going to continue to do my work. He said, I don't care what you says. You, King Herod, will not determine that day. You don't have the power to do it. God will determine that day. And then I just carry on. Jesus took orders from God. He will not shorten his work one day to please or escape an earthly king. And that's what Jesus like. You know, when God says something to Jesus, he just did it. Do you remember when Jesus was with the woman at the well? And many Samaritans came to know Jesus. The disciples asking, and he says, my food is to do what? The will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That is my food. So he's saying to King Herod, hey, I will carry on casting out demons, healing people, proclaiming the good news of the gospel, and even go to death on the cross until all my work is done. Jesus was serving a master. He was his father. But then he sent another message to the other enemies. The other enemies were the Pharisees. They were there. So he said, go and tell that fox this, but I'm going to tell you. And he says, let's read together verse 33. This is the response from Jesus to the Pharisees. Let's read together verse 33. Yet, if we check carefully, this is full of sarcasm, because Jerusalem was the city where God placed his name. Jerusalem was the city that God had his temple. Jerusalem was the city that God's people went to worship. Surely Jerusalem was the last place where one God's prophet will be killed. He said, no. Jesus knew that Jerusalem was the exact place because the enemy was within, not without. So he said, I have to get there. I have to get there. Jesus says, when I get there, everything will be finished. Just Jesus knew that Jerusalem was the exact place to be killed. And Jesus is saying the same words. You know, if we read the final words of verse 32, and on the third day, I will finish my work. When Jesus was on that cross, he says, it's finished. I finish. Now, he finished the work to give us a reassurance of our salvation. His perfect obedience is an example to us. But the most important is, you know, that he was the propitiation. You remember 3 weeks ago when we were talking that a sacrifice that bears God's wrath and turns into favor. Because God is holy. I cannot get to God because I'm a religious person. I am a holy person. No, I cannot do it. I get there because what he did for us. The Holy Son of God came and lived in obedience. Total obedience to the Father. And he went to the cross and his righteousness was credited to us. Believer. And then our sins were credited to him. And that was even God. He has to be a just God. And he has to put his wrath upon him. And Jesus says, I done it. The third day I'm going to do it. My friends, sometimes we don't want to hear about that is the gospel. That is the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus came on Christmas, the first Christmas. He grew, you know, he was obedient to God. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross and died. He was buried in his risen. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That is what we are called to preach. Now, that's not like, that's not right. But let me show you what Paul says. 1 Corinthians, turn with me with 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17. You know, this is not Friday saying, eh? This is the apostle Paul. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize. You know, in other words, he's saying, Christ didn't send me to perform the liturgy in the church just to baptize people, to be nice to people. No, no. He sent me to preach what? The gospel. And he said, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be empty of his power. What a powerful verse. So when you preach, sometimes people, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm... You just go, pray, talk to your daughter. Talk to your son, to your neighbor, with your example, and present Christ crucified. That's what Paul is telling us. That is what Paul is telling you and me. That is what churches have to do. Our young people are dying on the street of London, in other cities. People are getting confused. What do we need? The gospel. So Paul says, you don't have to go and have a college degree or a doctor's degree or a PhD. Fine if you can do it. But you have to preach the gospel. And let me tell you something. Christ, you know, he performed his duty of going to Jerusalem. He didn't do it, you know, for us to be holy. He didn't do it for us to be good, for me to be a saint. No, Jesus Christ labored in redemption to redeem the whole world and to place it perfectly, whole, restored before the throne of God. So I can be, we can be next to God. Let's hear the word of Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 32. This is Jesus Christ. Okay, oh, that's Paul. But let's hear Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says in John chapter 12, verse 32, If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Jesus has to go to the cross to draw all peoples to him. And Paul says, I am called to preach the gospel. What is it? That while we are still sinners, Christ died for you. I am a sinner. Somebody here is perfect. I like the recipe. Because I am not. And Christ says, preach it. Preach it. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to go there, and it's a message for us. When people don't like to hear the gospel, love them, carry on preaching. And Jesus said, I'm going to carry on until the third day when everything will be finished. I remember my grandfather. He was a preacher of the gospel, and he was 50 years a minister in one evangelical church. And he will preach and will preach. And then I remember the next door family. You know, one of my best friends was, when I used to spend holidays in there, it was a different city. I used to go there. And then they respect my grandfather, but they didn't like church, okay? They didn't like the churchy people. But I spent time with my friends on holidays, and they have 5 brothers in one, between brothers and sisters, 5 of them. They never like to come to church, you know. But they respect my grandpa. My father will keep on preaching. He died, left a church, a quite large church, 400 members. And then 2012, I was invited to preach in my father's church in another city. And then I saw the whole family coming to church. I said, well, wait a minute, this is not their city. They are coming to this city. And then I was preaching, and after the service, I said, God bless you, my brother. They were so touched by the message of my father. When he died, they all came to church and they surrendered their life to Jesus. 2 of them became pastors. What my grandfather did was to preach the gospel and give a good testimony. Jesus is telling us that we need to lift him up and people will be drawn to him. Not to be politically correct and nice. Yes, that's right. Preach the gospel. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then a message to you and to me. My second point is Jesus' message to Jerusalem. Shall we read together verse 34? Listen to this. This is a different tongue of voice. So can we use that different tongue of voice? Okay. Let's read together. O Jerusalem. How often I want to protect you. Nothing hurts so much as to go to someone and offer love and have that offer rejected. It is life's bitterest tragedy when you give your heart to somebody and that person will just break your heart. That is what happened to Jesus. Say, Jerusalem, I love you. I love you so much. But Jerusalem is described as the city that didn't want to be gathered.
Jerusalem didn't want to hear the message of repentance, of salvation, of Jesus. No, they prefer their religion. They prefer their culture. We don't want you, Jesus. Shut up.
Jesus grieved for those who reject him. He used a wonderful image of to communicate his love, his concern. He loved you, my friend. His desire is to deliver rejecting Israel from divine judgment. And he longed to protect them the way a mother hen sheltered her chick. He wants to protect Jerusalem.
Jesus' grief is for lost sinners. He showed compassion, the same compassion God shows for you and for me. In the book of Ezekiel, we read, you know, some people say, don't preach about a God being a God of wrath, a God of anger. Yes, he is, but he is a God who is compassionate. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 says, say to them, as assuredly I live, declare the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Jerusalem? Why will you die, people of Israel? Under the wings of the bird, the chicks find safety. This is no sentimental image. Jesus says, I want to bless you. Jesus said to you, I want to bless you. I want to change you. Are you struggling with an addiction? Are you struggling with your marriage? Are you struggling with your life? Are you struggling with loss? Are you struggling with your sexuality? Jesus wants to set you free. Are you willing to come to him?
There is a wonderful illustration. You know, I was trying to look for an illustration, so I have to use one that has been used very often. There is the story of a fierce fire that raged through a farm. Scores of people tried to save all the animals, but the fire was so intense that all the animals perished. And then the heat was so intense that it took several days before people could go through the farm to examine the destruction. There were burnt animals everywhere. It was a dreadful scene. But then one of the people heard a noise, and they heard it again and followed the sound. And then they found a hen. Her body was burnt completely. But then her wings were spread out. She, of course, she was dead. Burned by the heat of the fire. However, when her feathers were lifted, the people were amazed to see the chicks under her wings, alive. Their mother had given her life so that they may live.
That is the wonderful illustration. Jesus wants to do that for you, my friend. He wants to do it for me. He wants to do it for this country. He wants to do it for this church. He wants to do it for your family, for you.
But sadly, some in Jesus' day, they were not willing to find shelter in their wings. They were not willing to allow Jesus to bear the full force of the Father's wrath against their sin. In that case, they will have to experience the Father's wrath. The fire from God will destroy them. But if we come to Jesus, Jesus has endured the Father's wrath. Sadly, in our time, many people, they don't want to. But Jesus invites you this morning. I want to shelter you. I finish with a prophecy. He sent a message to the enemies. He sent a message to Jerusalem. And he gave us a prophecy in the second part of verse 35. Because the people refused to turn to Jesus and find shelter in him, he gave this prophecy. See, your house is left to you desolate. Behold, your house is forsaken. Some Bible commentators say that Jesus was referring to Jerusalem as the whole city or the whole nation. Other people say just the temple. Either way, the prophecy came true. God withdrew his protection from Jerusalem. His holy presence no longer dwelt in the temple. The temple is no more. And the city was overthrown and his temple completely destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. See, your house is left to you desolate. This was the temple, a kind of picture of the temple, beautiful temple of our Lord. And then it was destroyed, and we know that we only have walls now. You want to go to Jerusalem, it's only walls. Let me read what Josephus says about what happened there. It says, but for the city, it was so thoroughly laid even with the ground by those who dug it up to the foundations that there was left nothing to make those that come near believe that it had ever been inhabited. Jesus said that is what happened when we don't allow him to shelter us. What happened to Jerusalem will happen to any nation when we abandon God. What happened to Jerusalem will happen to any city, to any church, to any individual who refuses to find shelter in Christ. That's the prophecy from Jesus. My friends, Jesus said, you say to you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Those are the verses that we're going to be reading from Psalm 118 during the before the Easter Sunday. But this is for his second coming. At the end of history, on that great day when every town confesses that Jesus is Lord, his second coming will mean salvation for many, but damnation for those who never receive Jesus by faith. He invited them to come under his sheltering, but they will not. And by the time they see Jesus, it will be too late. As I conclude this morning, as we are having this time of Lent, I invite you to consider the sorrow of Jesus over Jerusalem. And my friends, are you willing to come under his protection? My friends, are you willing to allow him to be your Lord and your Savior? Let me read something about God. God's holiness is what he stands for. That's okay. Now, God's righteousness is what he does. God's justice is what he demands. But God's love is what he is. And he loves you so much. He wants to protect you. But you have to come. You have to surrender. When we are really in trouble, if you need shelter, yesterday it was raining a lot. Isn't it? I must confess, I parked next door just not to be wet when I came to the church. You know, it was too much. But what I'm trying to say, when we need shelter, we just go. And we allow him to shelter us. He is righteous. He is holy. He demands justice. But he loves you. And he gave his son. And he wants to shelter you. Are you willing? Perhaps instead of saying Jerusalem, Jerusalem, say Wendy, Matt, Freddy, I want to gather you. Penrod, I want to hold you. Bangor, I want to protect you. Are we willing to be under his protection? Or we seem to know better than God? May the Lord help us to allow Jesus to be the one who protects our life, our church, our family, our country. Amen.